Today we move from wells to millstones. In yesterday's shiur, we discussed that the challenge that the Goyim challenged of Yeshua was bring us a well from outside the city and bring it into the city. And he told them, give me string made out of bran and I will bring it for you. Today there's a new challenge. Now they got their well into the city. They say they have a millstone. A millstone is a stone that they would grind wheat into flour. They say we have a millstone that broke down. And we want you to sew it back together. Now, most people don't sew together stones. But that's what they told them. They said we have a millstone that broke. And now we have want you to sew it back together. So Yeshua told them, oh! You're talking about sewing a millstone, I have a good answer for you. Pull out threads from the millstone and I will sew them together. And they said, wow, now that is a very, very geschmacka answer. And once again, we are standing here perplexed. What is the question? What does the millstone represent? What do the threads represent? What was really the question? And what was really the answer? And today we are going to be learning two pshatim. One from the Kedushas Levi. The Kedushas Levi is the Halakha of Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. He wrote a sefer called the Kedushas Levi. And one from the Marsha. The Kedushas Levi is not directly connected with the Inyan of Moshiach and Emuna, but it's a very, very important and geshmak pshat nevertheless. And that's why I felt important to include it in the shir. And the Marsha is much more connected to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Inyonim, that we spoke about in our previous shiurim. So let's start with the Kedushas Levi. It's very geshmak. I mentioned to you earlier in the shiurim that the JLI made a course on the Agadita of Gemara. And each course has six classes. And one of the classes is this debate of Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachomim of the Goyim. They obviously cannot include all the discussions because then the class would be longer than the course. But they took two or three examples. And one of them, the name of the class is, I think, sewing millstones. They actually took this question and they elaborated, and actually the copy of the Kedushas Levi that you have on your paper in front of you is from the JLI workbook. But I want to give you the Berdichever's approach, and we'll see a little bit inside. A millstone is parnosa. When we think of flour, when we think of food, we think of parnosa, you know, a person's livelihood. That's what we associate, work, grinding, eating, flour. It's a remez to a person's parnosa. And their question is, what is the Jewish approach to parnosa when you have no parnosa? What do you do when your millstone is broken? What is the Jewish approach to dealing with a situation where you don't have parnosa? You have a millstone, you have a job, but it's epismachnishken geld. It's not really making you money, it's not paying your bills. What is the Jewish approach how to deal with poverty? What is the Jewish approach how to deal with unemployment? What is the Jewish approach how to deal with people that don't have parnosa? What's the answer? That was according to the Berdichever, that was their question. They wanted to understand how Yidden approach this issue. And he told them, pull out some strings from the millstone and tie it up. There's an interesting Gemara. I think it's a Gemara in Gittin, where the Gemara says that somebody that's poor should do something which is counterintuitive. Seichel will tell you that if you're poor, you better keep the money that you have. That would Seichel will tell you. But the Gemara says that if you're poor, take the money that you have and give tzedakah. If you're poor and you want parnasa, give tzedakah. Which goes against the whole logic. Poor means I don't have excess money. I don't have extra money. So seemingly, if you're poor, keep the money that you have. He told them, take out strings from the millstone. From the broken millstone that you have, take out even more and give it away. And with that, you're going to fix the millstone. This was what the Gemara says. And the Bardichever explains it. I want to learn it together with you inside. And it's pashut so gishmak. Kesha'odam sam bitchoinoi be'ize dover mitoivas oilam hazeh. When somebody puts his faith in something of this physical world, humada kilu oisei dover, yesh lechas v'sholem koyech lahafil zulos ha'boidei baruchu. You're showing that you have a certain faith and it has a certain existence outside the Eibishter. Meaning, if you're going to put your entire faith in the dollar bill, like for many people, the reason why it says on the dollar bill, in God we trust, is because that's what they think is God. And that's why they have complete emuna in the dollar bill. As they say, in God we trust, everyone else please pay cash. But the point is that when you hold the money back, you are limiting yourself to nature. You're basically taking the Eibishter out of the equation. You're taking the Eibishter out of the picture because you're holding back. What happens if you come to the accountant, if you come to the bank, and the bank says, Mr. Yankel, you have very little money, you had a very bad quarter, and you say, you know what? How am I going to respond to that? You say, I'm going to give tzedakah. Which goes against seichel. What are you saying? That I don't trust, my faith is not in the dollar bill. That will allow Hashem to get into the picture. That will actually bring you more parnasa because you broke the teva. Now you're opening yourself up to the Eibishter. Let's see the second paragraph. When somebody sees that his physical belongings or money, your bank account, is getting less, the best advice is to give tzedakah. Bir adover. Well, how does this work? Kishemefazer ma'isav nedidah slave. When you are giving out money in a good way, nimtza mari bepoyol she'eni sam bitchoini b'ma'isav. You're basically saying, I don't trust the dollar bill. The dollar bill is not going to be what's going to decide the course of my life. Va'adirabe. You're showing your trust in the Eibishter. Even though it goes against Seichel, I wouldn't say even though, because it goes against Seichel, that opens you up to a ness. You just broke the Hagbolas of Teva. Teva says you have less money, give less tzedakah. When you give more tzedakah, you're opening yourself up to a bigger keli for a bracha of the Eibishter. Wherever you're going to turn, you're going to be matzliach. You're going to get even more. So the Bardichever, the Helika Bardichever, is telling us that this really was the question and answer. They asked him, how do Yidden handle being poor? What's the Eitzah when you have a broken millstone? His response, take more out of the millstone. Give more tzedakah. From the pranosa you don't have, give tzedakah. And that is going to fix your broken millstone. This is the Bardichever's approach. Now let's learn the Marsha's approach. Also very, very gishmak. The Marsha says that the millstone does represent the source of Gashmias as it grinds the flour. But here he's referring mainly to the Eibishter. And let's read inside. Ramzu loy shoy lechem the Yisrael rechayim mishulkan gavoya. He was telling, the Goyim were telling him, Yidin, for a long time, they had a source of parnosa from the Eibishter. You had the Eibishter giving man to the Yidin and the Mitzrayim, the Tzadikim. When you were in Eretz Yisrael, you had the Beis HaMikdash because you brought the Eibishter Karbonis. So now the Eibishter is giving you Parnasa. Now, Yidin, you are sons which are exiled from the Shulchan Aviyem. You guys are hopeless now. You guys have no source of parnasa. You guys are not bringing karbonis. You're not getting mon from Shemayim. So in the time of Golos, your millstone is broken. In other words, until now, according to the Marsha, they were attacking the Ruchnius of the Yidden. They said, well, you know, where's the Eibishter in Golos? How could you find the Eibishter in Golos? So he told them, we have the Tzadikim. He told them that the Eibishter Meloi Cholaretz Kvoidoi, the Eibishter fills up the world. So they're fine. They understood the Yidden could get Ruchnius. But now they're talking Gashmius. Fine, you could get Ruchnius, but how are you going to get Gashmius in the time of Golos? Your source, your millstone, is broken. You feed the machine through Karbonis. You guys aren't bringing Karbonis these days. So how can you feed the machine? Your millstone, your connection to the Eibishter, talking about getting Gashmius, is broken. Now, he told them to take out some threads, and he'll sew it back together. What does that represent? What do the threads represent over here? He answered them, Ki atzadik nimshel atzur. Take out threads from the stones. The tzadikim are called stones. It's brought down. We talk about habitu al tzur polam. We refer to the avos as our rock, as our stone. Now, the simple taich is, because they're like a stone is strong and it doesn't move, you trust, you hold on to the avos and it stabilizes you. But there's also another reason. As we mentioned in one of our earlier shiurim, the avos were not blessed to naturally have children. They were like stones which don't give birth. But what happened? The Avis, their Poshit, through their Maisim Toivim, and their Tfilois and their Mitzvahs, Poshit Begashmi is their nature changed. And people that they were born, naturally barren women, and people that cannot have men, that cannot have children, they birth children at late age in life in miraculous ways. So he told them like this, he says, you goyim take cannot change teva. When you have a broken millstone, there's nothing you can do to change teva. You're stuck. Avol tzadikim shalonu shebechol der shenimshu litzur. He says, you don't understand. In every generation, there are tzadikim. The Eibishter ro tzadikim shemuotim. He saw that tzadikim are few. And the Gemara says that he put them in every single generation. We have a tzadikim, tzadik yisoid oilam. Heim ba'atzmam hachut litvor rechaya hanishbor. They are the string to fill the broken millstone. In other words, we have the tzadikim, like it's brought down in the midbar, that even though Yidden weren't supposed to have good gashmias, they got the Be'er Shel Miriam, Ananiya Kovit from Aaron, and from Moshe Rabbeinu, they got the man. So they were the chut ha-meshulesh litveis ha-rechayim. That even though we on our own maybe have a broken millstone, we don't have a strong connection with the Eibishter. However, through the tzaddikim in each generation, the Yidin get their parnosa from the Eibishter. Like the Gemara says, by Rabbi Chanina ben Doisa, that he's eating caribs and he's starving, but the whole world is being nizah and everyone else is getting their gashmias from Reb Chanina ben Doisa. I heard this story. It's not verified, so I don't know who it was with. But this story I heard many, many years ago, that in the early years of the Rebbe's Nasius, a chassid went over to the Rebbe and told him that you know that each Rebbe at the beginning of their Nasius, they make miracles so that people should see that this Rebbe has a koyach aleki. Right, if you start off with the good miracles at the beginning of the Nesias, so then people will respect and understand. He says, but now in the Rebbe's Nesias, we don't see that the Rebbe is performing a lot of miracles. And the Rebbe got very serious, and the Rebbe said, in what schus do you think Yungalite have parnosa? In other words, you're talking about, how is a frum Yungaman supposed to have parnosa begashmis? It doesn't make any sense, al piteva. What exactly did he learn in yeshiva in Russia, underground cheder, which makes him a good vessel to have a good parnosa? Doesn't make any sense. Only the schus is the schus of the tzaddikim, schus of the Rebbe. He says that what you're taking for granted, that Yungalite have parnosa, is really a ness from the Eibishter through the tzaddikim. That's really the answer over here, that we may not have it in our own schus, but we do get parnosa, and we do have, even in the galus, we could get gashmias in the schus of the tzaddikim.